picture this. You're scrolling through your feed and suddenly, bam, you land on an incredible live stream and someone's sharing secrets about nurturing that stunning plant you've been eyeing. You're instantly hooked, asking questions, laughing, and joining vibrant conversations with passionate plant lovers from all over the world.
These live streams aren't just about selling plants. They're hangouts, educational classes, and exciting community events. And while you're waiting for your next favorite seller or educator to go live, join chat channels similar to Discord, where the fun never stops and plant friendships flourish.
Feeling inspired, you decide it's time to buy your dream plant. Here's the best part. It's not just a transaction. You're connecting directly with amazing sellers and becoming part of a genuinely engaged community. Need any tips? Have any questions? Want to celebrate your plant's first ever bloom? Overgrown Oasis community is always eager to support, guide, and cheer you on.
Overgrown Oasis is more than just a platform. It's your new plant-loving adventure and community home. So dive into the excitement, connect deeply, and watch your plant dreams bloom alongside friends. You can find Overgrown Oasis by visiting overgrownoasis.com.
Your ultimate plant-loving community awaits.
Hey guys, I'm Lydia.
Hi, I'm Jesse.
And I'm Adam. Let's talk Hoya.
Hey guys, 안녕.
Hola.
Hi, Hoya lovers.
Welcome back to, or welcome to Let's Talk Hoya podcast. So I feel like this is, so we posted listener questions, which we sometimes do on Instagram. And most of the time we post the questions and we record our episodes like so far in advance that you probably hear about them like 3 months later or something. But I think this is the first time where like listener questions are going to go out and then pretty quickly, like you're going to hear them. So yeah. I don't know. I'm sure people enjoy more hearing them right away. But if you prefer the other way,
if you prefer us to take five ever, let us know.
If you forget about asking a question. Anyway. Yeah. So did we get a bunch of questions?
We did get some questions. From the grams? We have like two different, I posted two different question boxes. I posted one today and then I posted one last week. And we even got someone who sent us an email with a photo. So like at some point when we get to that question, if you can do the, put like their photo there.
Just as long as, yeah, since it's in the email box.
Yeah.
I'm glad someone gave us a photo because I like yearn for the photos.
It's kind of nice, actually.
Like, even if it's good photos, bad photos, whatever. Like, but I feel like I just want to be tagged in things. I want to see your Hoya.
Yeah. See what's going on.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, when people ask us questions, there have been ones where it was like, it would have kind of been nice if there was like a photo attached so we can like see what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
So, but anyway, yeah. So we got a bunch of questions last week. And today, we should start with the ones from last week.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So we said, we're going to record an episode answering your questions. Woo! So this is your chance to ask for like care tips or anything that you've just been dying to know about us. So
also, I feel like I don't know if I want to venture out to say this, but I kind of do want to venture out to say this. If you have questions, you can always email them to us and we may answer them at some point again.
Yeah, yes. Especially if in the subject line you put for question episodes, then I can search.
So if we do one of these episodes, then yeah.
Yes. Yes. If you guys are specific about why does this feel like work, like please make sure your subject title.
We got to stay organized. Listen, in 2025, we are streamlining. That's why.
But okay, there was one from No Stress, Yes Plants that said, I just want to tell you that your podcast was my best discovery of 2025. Saludos from Spain.
You're welcome. Oh,
that's
welcome.
Exciting. That's,
but I'm too, I guess.
That really got Jesse's Leo energy going.
Yeah. This is wild.
From Spain.
It will never cease to amaze me when someone from a different part of the world is like, I listen to your podcast and I love it. Like, that's one of the nicest things someone can offer, I think.
I thought that was super cute. Okay. Meg_P_83 said, recommendations for trellising thick-stemmed Hoyas like Imperialis.
My recommendation is to catch them early because they're like a little more loosey-goosey when they're early versus once they're like out and sturdy, you're going to struggle to get it going in the direction you want.
So Imperialis, like that one up there.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a multiflora.
Why did I?
But it looks very similar.
Is Imperialis has a really big blooms too, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Kind of same growth
like,
pattern?
Yeah. It's like not, it's not like as thin as some thin leaved Hoya, but I would say it's like right in between like thin leaved and thicker leaved Hoya. But the stems are very, very thick and it grows upright.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
See, I haven't done it yet, but I also want to do it with my ZZs. But I think that like a really nice trellis that's kind of just, they have them where it's like a circle that kind of holds it and then the stake goes into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of provides it a little bit of support. Or you could just do a bamboo stake and like tie it onto that. But like, I don't think that those are the kind of Hoya you could bend around.
Yeah, to put onto like a...
I feel like you'd really have, I mean, it would have to be like bonsai type or like, I don't know, like when they bend wood to make it curved where you like every day you're like getting it moist and you're having to like inch by inch stretch it, right?
It's tough because it's one of those Hoya where the stem is really thick, but it's not one where you could like bend it around a trellis, I don't think, because the Imperialis, like the closest one in my collection that grows like that is probably my Lokii.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is also one where like the stem is like really thick, but it just is like upright growing. So I have a, what are those, the like the really long yew trellis? How, what are those, like 2 feet?
Yeah.
I have it on the 2 foot trellis and that just provides support like at the base. Mm-hmm. And the rest of it just kind of, I just kind of let it go and it goes and it found, like it made it up to one of my grow lights that's hanging. So then I clipped it onto there and that's just kind of what I do.
Yeah. Now in a perfect world, if I had the opportunity, the knowledge, the willpower, I think, you know how they make those like circular type trellis out of just like chicken wire or fence that the
yes, like the aeroid people do?
Kind of, yeah. But I mean, mm-hmm. Hoya people do it too. Like Doug Chamberlain and Miro does a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I hated those, but now that I grow Hoya, like I do, I'm like, oh, I love those because it kind of gives you more chance to just like spiral it around. Now, in the perfect world with like an Imperialis and even that multiflora, like having it in a pot that has one of those and you kind of just twist it around.
Mm-hmm.
But then it would have to be in some sort of like bigger cash pot or like something to help hold it like on the ground because that'll be very top heavy.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that be so cool to see that thing like spiraling like almost two different like vines?
Going around like a tree trunk or something.
Yeah, I could probably do it with that one because you could wrap it sideways. You just can't, you're not going to be able to bend it circular, but you could kind of bend it this way and have it just keep like
kind of train it to go around.
When I had an Imperialis, I did bend it circular, but it was like this big of a circle.
Okay.
But it was like that long.
Why, I feel so stupid for not knowing because I was like, as soon as you said Imperialis, I was like, oh, that one. Why I thought that was an Imperialis.
Because they're like
similar.
Be nice
to my friend. Don't call him stupid.
Yeah, you're right.
I feel like in a perfect world,
you're
what
just
I would
old
do...
and have dementia. I'm just kidding.
Okay, I feel like the Imperialis is a little bit more flexible than the multiflora, maybe, but. Still,
maybe like the top parts when like the stems are new, but once those stems have gone woody, it's
there's no
doing nothing to it. That's the thing. I feel like in a perfect world, you have like a wall that has like the gardening trellis, and you just let it grow up on mm-hmm. that.
I mean, if you just look at other like Google images, a lot of people do it like it just kind of looks like chaotic. It's just like wrapped,
yeah, because the leaves are all
yeah.
So it's like hard, I feel like. I just kind of let those Hoya just, once it goes past the trellis, let them figure it out. And if it works, it works. And if it don't, it don't.
I still would really like to get my friend Jeremy said that there is a version of the Imperialis that is, that he called it the Doug Chamberlain version.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it came from Doug that's easier to flower.
I remember we talked about that.
And his has flowered a lot, but he still, you know, he's like me. I promised somebody something and I was like, well, and you might see it in a year. Like,
and then you forget.
It depends on
and
like
then,
when I have a little rush of energy to like handle a to-do list.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, so sorry we don't have any solid advice, but that's what we do.
But let us know if you figure out a way that you're doing it and it works and you like it. Because there are ideas out there, but will you like them? We're not legally or fiscally responsible for your final product.
Okay, there's a question from I'm the Baby. What are your favorite online?
The baby.
What are your favorite online shops? We can't all drive to UPT.
But can we? Why not?
I feel like that last bit is a jab.
Like, oh, must be nice. Oh. You can go to UPT.
It is really nice being able to go. We need to go to UPT, guys.
Yeah,
we haven't been there in a minute.
In a hot minute.
Oh yeah,
it's been a couple of years.
Has it been years?
Yeah, it's been a couple because we didn't go last year. We didn't go this year.
It's been a fat minute.
Yeah.
PHAT. I don't do much shopping. Obviously, Lydia has a shop, The Green Plant. So that's a good online shop. As far as Hoya go, I don't know. I don't do a lot of online shopping or buying of Hoya.
I have been on a plant ban now going on 2 years strong. And I've broken it, but for non-Hoya only. Except for those $5 Bing Viances, which I had a gift card. So low-key, I didn't bring my plant ban. Anyway, I don't shop online. I've done Etsy. I really have to be careful about it because of the heat here. So I feel like there's very low or short season that I can actually buy on Etsy. But again, now if I want something, if the Green Plant doesn't have it, my friends have it. So yeah, no, I don't do much online shopping. Gabrielle Plants, I think I've bought from before.
I feel like we're going to name all of the OGs. No. I did come across a gay plant daddy's Atlanta shop, and I was like, it was really cute branding.
But have you shopped there?
No.
I've shopped from Gabrielle and received, a good product. So that's why I'm naming them. But other than that, my friend here who buys Hoya, maybe.
No, I haven't bought any Hoya in the past year. April does have an online shop, UPT. Mm-hmm. The other thing is my thing about buying plants that I don't know from someone that I don't know from is you just don't know what you're getting is my biggest thing. And there's tons of great sellers out there. So I'm not trying to jab at people, but.
But you do buy online. You buy from direct people, Facebook groups
and stuff.
Sometimes I'll buy really haven't bought in a long time. Mostly what I'll do is I'll trade with people that I trust. That's usually what I end up doing. I think the other thing that's really nice nowadays is there's a lot of people that do live streams. And so if you have the time to pop into a live stream, then you can see exactly what it is that you'll be getting, which I think is a nice way that some platforms have been, moving towards too. So that's also kind of a nice option. But I don't really have any shop recommendations because I also don't buy that. Yeah. Or sometimes the things that I want people aren't selling. Yeah.
And I know we did an episode with Schlieff Tropicals and they do live stream selling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same as UPT also has a live stream selling going on about now. So we kind of, again, here's a non-answer. We don't really shop online, but when we do, we will let you know.
Yeah. Lots of resources out there, though, that you can find for that. Facebook.
Yeah. But can I put a shameless plug in?
Yeah, of course.
Lydia sells plants again at thegreenplant.az. So you can click somewhere where there will be a link.
Yes, right here.
Well, no, don't say that because last time I did the river, and I was like,
I'm fine with you populating links all over my face. Anyway, but yes, if you do have questions or things to discuss with the Green Plant, they go to the Green Plant because
yes,
it is not the same thing as Let's Talk Hoya. So the links will be here.
Listen, 2025 is year setting boundaries, and yes. Jesse just set one with you, audience.
No, I think like once we've received something, yeah. But just so people know, because I think people do tend to assume like it's interchangeable.
Because you guys were in the plant shop, then we were the plant shop,
and now it's just her. Yeah.
So
again,
we've all been inside the green plant.
People need that clarification. I think it's fair. Next question.
Okay. Next question is from Green B MN. Are there any viruses that affect Hoya?
Like the mosaic? Oh,
yeah. I mean, there for sure is. I had a crinkle 8 once that I got somewhere and it had some sort of virus. It was very circular. Like it almost, you know, when you won solitaire, well, you guys might be too young.
You know what it reminds me of? When you go to hole punch something and the hole punch doesn't get through all the way, yeah. And it leaves like a little dent, but the little circle's still there. That's what it looked, because I remember what you're talking about.
I've never seen that.
Mm-hmm. So that's the vibe it gives. It was like circular. It was kind of yellow. But I don't know what the virus is called. I mean, I think someone told me like a long time ago, but I don't remember. But they are susceptible to viruses. But I just don't know if it's as much as like aeroids would be with like mosaic.
Yeah.
At least I haven't heard.
Are you sure it wasn't just variegated crinkle 8?
No, it wasn't.
Or marble crinkle 8?
It was Amarillo crinkle 8. No.
The original Madara crinkle 8. I'm just kidding.
I feel like in the wintertime, they're kind of susceptible to viruses because you get a little bit of like the blackening, browning of foliage that sometimes happens when it gets like really cold.
Temps change, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like that can happen. They are susceptible, but I feel like honestly, it's not as bad as like aeroids. I feel like with like aeroids, there'd always be like something going on and then you'd have to be worried about it. And then it's like the whole plant goes bad. But I feel like with like Hoya, if you see something, just cut the leaf off. Granted that there's more than one leaf.
Yeah, let's hope. Not some of mine.
Sorry about this very privileged statement I just said.
Would you guys consider root rot a virus?
No.
No, it's just like a state of existence.
An effect, I think.
Okay. But wow. When I think of virus, I think of like foliage stuff that goes on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yes, the short answer is yes. But I feel like it's pretty uncommon.
I think maybe next time we put a question box up, we should put a big asterisk that says, we may not have an answer.
Our answers may be as vague as you could possibly imagine them to be. And they all might be, we don't know, but here's our thoughts.
But also, if it's something where like if you like really want to know, because we're looking at these like in real time. So I feel like if someone like really wants to know the answer, then like maybe parentheses, but like I really want to know. And then we can like actually look into it.
In the subject line, please put parentheses. But I really want to.
On a scale of 1 through 5, please rate how seriously you would like to know the answer to this question, so we can prioritize.
Anyway,
we need to invest in a ticketing system.
So our question boxes will never again be question boxes; they're gonna be thought boxes. You want to hear our thoughts on
that is so good. Yes. A thought box, man. Yeah, rather, I wish I thought of that.
Rather than giving 7 different filters to your questions.
Next thought.
Well, continuing on from CSP 1232. Any tips for growing Hoya serpents?
Don't do it.
No. None of us any longer grow.
I'm so bitter.
No, but mine grew pretty well.
Yeah, I just feel like Adam has good
taken care of it. But I didn't treat it any special way.
Well, it wasn't like that vivarium you had like, it in that thing, situation. Yeah. The enclosure.
Yeah, so it didn't dry out. Yeah. So I guess I did put it in an environment that would keep it moist longer.
That's one.
So I did do that, but I had it in like a little enclosure, like a little wardian case type situation.
Yeah, maybe if you have a picture of it, you can put it right here.
You know, really just what it is. It's just the thought. Like I can just imagine it going.
Because for us, it's magical. For you, it's work.
Yeah. Oh, it just appeared.
Yeah, wow. If I say it, it appears. And that's wonderful for me.
It feels like magic. It feels like we're doing magic right now. And then we get to see you later.
Back to the actual thoughts on serpents.
Yeah, so I think maybe I just gave it a little more humidity, but it wasn't really humidity. It was just I was trying to not let it dry out as fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But honestly, it dried out a lot. It went wrinkly. I rehydrated it. It puffed back up. Like, it's just, to me, it was like any other Hoya. Maybe your lighting situation would be the thing I would recommend the most. Like, I had it in a north window, the bedroom, and it was not under grow lights.
But Dunk Daddy, did you ever get a bloom from a serpent?
No. I got a lot of peduncles, but never a bloom.
The other thing that I heard about serpents is that's a cool grower, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, a little bit less light. Yeah. Put it in like a cooler, not like freezing cold, maybe like a 5-10 degree difference. And in a little bit of a humid environment. If I got a serpent, that's what I would do. I would put it into enclosure.
Yeah.
No grow light and find a cool room for it.
Yeah. And then just make sure the vibes are vibing.
Immaculate.
That's really what keeps it alive, the vibes.
The vibes.
But if you are watching, listening, somehow absorbing this content, and you do have expertise on growing serpents, or you have bloomed it, feel free to DM us, and we will share it with our other listeners.
Yeah.
That will be my task. All right, next thought.
Next thought from planty.pagey. What do I do with algae? Leave it. My Hoya are beautiful, but some of them are scary looking.
Oh, I hate algae so much.
That's why you don't use lighter pots anymore.
No, but it's inevitable, I guess. If you want a cute little vibe. Like, there are some clear vessels that I have that I just constantly am washing.
Yeah.
And the wicking cord is always green. It never changes unless you bleach it. But like, I don't do that while the plants are there. I'm not Jesse. So.
It's purely aesthetic what you do with algae. I've had plants that have lived in algae for years and they're fine. But then when I get bored and actually want to do plant chores, I'll wash it off. I'll bleach it off. And I, in my humble opinion, think it takes longer for the algae to come back, but again, that's very unresearched, undeveloped activities that I do in my house. But yeah, purely aesthetic.
I think it, to some extent, will prevent your plant from like really thriving.
Oh.
That's what I think, but
isn't there also like a additive that you can use in your watering or like nutrients or whatever that prevents
help algae to not grow? It never works though.
Well, there probably is in like actual hydroponic systems, but what we do is not really hydroponics.
Because it's not moving water, so like, it's stagnant water. So I think that's what makes it not work. But honestly, like, you know, when you use a clear vessel, it's like all in the cash pot, it gets on the wicking cord and then it gets on the roots. And really what I just worry about is just cleaning out the pot. And then I just do a little, you know, just a little clean of the roots. And there's still always algae on it, but the plants, they grow fine. So I'm never worried about like completely ridding my plant of it. I just get off what I can with running water and that's about it.
Yeah, that's what I do. And I squeeze the wicking cord out too.
Why does a clear pot make a difference?
Because the sun
gets in. Why does algae?
Algae needs light to grow.
Oh.
So if it's in a dark pot where light can't get in, then algae will not grow.
I feel like I went back to school today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I asked it because I'm sure people out there wonder.
The pool for algae. I wonder if like I could maybe do a little experiment.
A little chlorine, just drop a because little chlorine did, tablet into
well, not chlorine, but there is like algicides, and I wonder like what they would do to a plant in that type of situation. I might have to do some tests.
Next question from Biz Aha 2022.
Philip,
if you could keep a Hoya outside here in the valley, which would work the best, at least somewhat?
Ooh.
And for clarification, if you're a new listener, here in the valley, we are all in Arizona.
The seventh layer of hell.
Yes.
We're like right now at the end of May, and it's solid 100 degrees, and we're like that's not that hot. That's pretty good, actually.
It is not. The evenings are still chilling.
I literally have said that. I was like, my dad is like, you're already in triple digits. And I've the whole time to Steve, I've been like, it's really not gotten that hot this year. I was like, am I finally getting used to it? Or, I mean, it is hot.
We have to delulu ourselves, like, I think
it is delulu.
I think so, yeah.
But it's because we know, like, what's truly hot is once it's over 100. Once it's 115, it's hot.
Yeah, but 110. And I have a car with air conditioning now.
Yeah, so. I imagine that makes a little bit of a difference. Girl, I don't know how you did it all these years.
You know, that's character building, because I look back and I'm like,
damn.
Way to go through. Remember that one time when you were like, yeah, it's no big deal. We'll take your car. And like, not even out of the drive or the thing. You were just like,
done with it.
And yeah, and I'm like, oh, I've been poor. I can do everything. No. No, I've also been very coddled. Yeah.
I think there needs to be some like parameters in place, because it can't just be like raw dog and throw the plan out there. Because then nothing will make it. It's almost like it has to be the right type of facing. I feel like north facing is ideal. Shade. With shade.
Full shade, like either shade cloth or patio.
Never getting direct sunlight ever. I feel like are like the three parameters we need to have.
Okay. I think a Carnosa would do well.
Yeah.
And a Clemenciorum, like the thick.
Yeah, the thicker Jurassic art.
Like a Finlaysoni.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pubic calyx.
Yeah, but I keep like elephant's food on my patio and gardenia and tradescantia, a purple one. They only get direct lighting for about 2 hours in the day, and the gardenia and everything still looks like me by the end of the season, and it needs like that winter to recuperate. So I don't think you're going to have a like beautiful, thriving Hoya. I think you're going to have a Hoya. I think it can make it, but I think you're going to have to be okay with like some loss and some like, what do you call it?
Burning?
No.
Ugly?
Me? Ugly? No. What is it? Like when they're referring to the face, like the way something looks.
The front?
Oh, that's the word.
Superficial damage.
Cosmetic damage. Okay. Ugly? You're going to have to be okay with ugly. Yeah. You're going to have to be okay with some cosmetic imperfection, which I think is part of nature. I would do it. Maybe I might actually do it. I'm going to put a pubic calyx out on my porch and see how that goes.
Yeah.
I think part of it is
Does your porch get sun?
It like barely gets any. And again, I think that's why the gardenia can live, because that bush has been there for like 3 years.
Okay.
Because when it's coming up, the fence kind of blocks it. Only like here gets direct. And then by the time it's starting to go that way, the garage protrudes. So that blocks it. And I've noticed like in certain corners, but sometimes even just from like the floor being hot and that heat rising, that's when the leaves start to like, they look like the alien inside of the Men in Black.
Yeah. You know, the thing that we have to remember is our Hoya only look the way they look because they're in a very protective environment. But if you read any publication.
Not around here, sister. Not around here.
But like from like all the elements and everything, right? So, but if you look at them in a publication, they do not ever look pretty. They busted, look crusted. Busted, crusted.
Yeah.
So I think that's, you know, what you just have to like mentally prepare yourself for is that's what it may look like. Because they're surviving, you know?
Yeah, so. And I honestly don't think the light would be the issue. I mean, yeah, you don't want it in full sun at all, but I think the heat would probably be the issue. So then I'm trying to think, do you think a woodier stemmed Hoya would be better with how hot it gets? Like, I wonder sometimes.
But I feel like at some point it has to come in. Like, once it's 119 degrees, like, whether you get sun or not, cacti die in 119 degrees.
Yeah.
So I think you have to, like, set a limit as far as what's gonna work or not work, just realistically. Because
I feel like if it's 119, I'm not worried about my plants on the porch. I'm worried about me in my house.
I'm just saying. Yeah. But another one that might be fun is Obscura, or like a sunrise, and see if it like sun stresses.
Honestly, I could put my carry eye out there that I like.
Kind of don't
have
like
a love hate relationship with,
yeah, but okay,
that's more hate than
in a
love.
More personal, this would be more Patreon content, but I'm not going to cut it for Patreon. We're gonna say here, I did have a little tiki menti bee about that plant this weekend.
Why?
I think I just was feeling a lot of emotions, and I looked at that plant and I was like, I fucking hate this plant. I'm probably going to beep that out. I do hate it. I do not like that plant, but I'm keeping it. And then I'm like, I'm abusing this plant. And then it was like, I'm trying to like, then it went into my head of like, oh, I'm treating this plant like I was treated. Like, you have to survive. Like, no one's going to care about you, but you're still just going to be here. And then I was just like sobbing. And then I was like, but I treat Steve like this too. It was during a...
We love a self-aware girly.
I was trying to be, what is it when you like need self-regulate? It was a self-regulate moment. And I sat in the bedroom and I looked at that plant and then I just spiraled to that whole thing. But then we healed a little bit. But I'm treating it like crap. I haven't repotted it in 5-6 years. I barely water it and it is still putting out new leaves. Now, are they the cutest? No, but it's trying.
She's a resilient carrier.
So was this a realization moment that you're going to treat her better? No, because you said you're just going to put her outside.
It is
so
a realization. I do think I'm going to treat her better, but I think that I'm going to take a cutting and maybe start a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And I can try to grow that one. I'm going to grow it inside over the summer and then like start it out there in the winter and see how it goes, you know?
Okay. Nice. So maybe for the purposes of science. We can have an answer because
like none of us grow something outside like that.
Yeah.
For the purposes of science and research, she will get better treatment.
Maybe. We'll see. You know?
Maybe. Otherwise, next week you'll be like, I threw it over the fence. It's in the neighbor's yard now.
It's all on the street.
Yeah. I dug it over the...
Yeah.
It's not a river out there. Cars just...
I dug it. We need that on a shirt.
Hola, Hoya friends. So we launched our Patreon, aka Peduncle Pals. It's been a joy connecting more with all of you, chatting in our Facebook group, and sharing more behind the scenes through our exclusive Patreon episodes every month. We're blown away by your support, and we're so grateful for every one of you that is joining us on this club. You can subscribe through our Patreon link through our Instagram bio, episode descriptions, or show notes. See you there.
Hey there, Let's Talk Hoya listeners. We're so glad that you're here joining us as we chat all about Hoya. And can you believe it? It's already been over a year since we've been doing this podcast, and it's just been filled with so many great memories. And most of those surround you, our listeners, and hearing from you all and getting to engage with you. And if you like what you're hearing, we hope you take a moment to leave us a review. Honestly, it means so much to us. They make us laugh and it brightens our day. And so we hope that you take a moment to do that. Be sure to connect with us on Instagram. You can find us at lets.talkhoya and check out our show notes. They're linked in our bio. We also have a Patreon community called Peduncle Pals, and we hope to see you there. One that we're probably going to have a great answer to.
Yeah.
Momo.obsessions, pawn versus Lekka, with or without wick, regarding Hoyas that do better or worse with each method, if any stand out. I feel like I have done all of the things. I have done Lekka. I have done pawn. I've done with and without wicking cords.
Same.
And I can honestly say Lekka is just never going to be a substrate I'm ever going to use again.
Yeah.
Two reasons. One, it feels very unstable, and many plants had yeeted themselves out of Lekka, and then you're stepping on rock hard cocoa pebbles for the next month because they end up everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't have personal feelings about it or anything.
No. This isn't bringing anything up.
And then two, I feel
my
like
my Roomba would like to commiserate with you right now.
I feel like for some reason, like root rot, although it's part of like plants, and I have roots that rot with my plants, but there's always healthy roots that keep it going. But in Lekka, like I've had so many plants where all of the entire root system would rot.
Yeah, same.
And so because of those two reasons, and especially in plants that are like well established, like it almost was like once they got really well established, all of a sudden there would be a time where it would decline. And then you look at the roots and like the entire root system would be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what that's all about. But because of those two reasons, I will never use Lekka again, just personally. So that's my thoughts on Lekka specifically.
No, I completely agree with that. First, my thing is, always in any situation other than trying to root a cutting, I would use a wicking cord personally. So Adams Hoya are all in wicking cords unless I'm rooting them or they're in those Malfo pots, but I'm slowly transitioning things out of those because of the rule. I always use a wicking cord. Like, I think the wicking cord is like, that's the thing that I will always do for my Hoya.
It's now, the hill you'll die on.
Yeah. Now, I don't think I'll ever use Leca again, like new Leca, but you know, Miss Obavada variegated with splash is in Leca still and always has been. But the trellis is attached to the net pot. So you're right. Like, that would yeet itself out of there. And I have noticed there's a lot more rot issues with Leca, but back when I was doing Leca, I was also trying to like have the substrate. I was touching, dipping the water. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if this is your cash po, then the substrate would always come up to like what, the quarter point or so. Yeah.
And so with Leca, I don't do that anymore because of the wicking cords, but the roots will obviously grow down. And then, you know, once when they get too unruly, I'll just grab a handful and rip.
You just rip her panties out like that?
Yeah, just yank. Dang. And then they grow back like immediately.
Because there's like good roots that are still in the system.
But yeah. So, but my preference with everything is always pawn, wicking cord.
Yeah.
I think pawn does hold most plants in sturdier. If you have a bigger plant and you need a trellis, like, then get it on the trellis. But like, nothing's going to keep everything stable. But once you get it rooted in, I think pawn holds things a lot more stable.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, even if you, you know, like, I have a couple of plants where now the zip tie broke just from like overtime corrosion, and it's not going anywhere. Like, you like lift it up and from the root structure and like everything has become one. My net pot to the plant to the trellis is all just like one big piece.
Yeah.
Which is nice. But
it is nice.
But yeah, pawn will also always be my preference. And you know, I didn't use wicking cords for a long time, but once I started doing it, there's just no going back. Because what I used to do was I used to use it just like my Leca, which was, you know, you have the pot, this is the plant pot, and then this is the nutrient solution inside of the cash pot, and it would sit at about a quarter. And so it would always be touching. And it's like fine when it's at that point, but then once it goes underneath, there would always be nutrient solution left at the bottom.
Yeah, so much waste.
And so then it's like, well, that's not really doing anything. Like, no matter what, it's just not doing anything. And my plants grow so much better with wicking cords. It takes up all of the nutrient solution. I have to water much less because now it can actually like use everything that's in there opposed to only being able to use whatever touches. And then there's less rot issues because it's not, because the thing is like, yes, your wicking cords are in the solution, but that doesn't keep the pot saturated. But whenever the solution is touching the pot, it's the whole thing is just constantly saturated.
Yeah,
like which is what causes issues.
The wicking cord will be saturated around the cord and it'll kind of slowly disperse, you know. But it's not like when it's dipped in it.
Yeah.
There are some Hoya though that I was like, this does not grow in pond for me. Namely, literally every compactive variety I've ever owned.
Wow.
Is the pond just does not, they just don't love it.
What do you grow them in? Leca or soil?
Soil. So I moved those to soil and they immediately, that Mauna Loa popped out a whole brand new vine. And I've had that cutting for like 2 years. And I've a month ago put it to soil and it already popped out a new vine. So anyway.
Yeah, I
think it's a conspiracy.
I can't say from experience, but as soon as you're like, I'm moving to soil, I jump ship and I put all mine in soil. So they grow great.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
A chunky aeroid mix almost.
So that's the only thing. But other than that, I really never had problems with anything else in the Leca or pawn.
Yeah, I just do whatever they do. And mainly what I get from Adam.
Pawn is just, I don't know. I was a standoffish person against it for a while because I was like, well, this is the same thing as Leca. Wow. And I also had like hordes of Leca, like so many bags.
Oh my gosh. I remember we bought that like 30 liters or something of Hydratin.
Yeah.
The biggest bag you could possibly, it was like a 50 pound bag of dog food basically.
Yes. Girls, man. We've been on a journey with Leca because do you remember it was like, okay, well here was Hydratin and that was like the perfect spherical Leca. And then do you remember the turd leca that came out.
Oh my gosh. It was all like weird, like not spherical, looked like dog shit.
Not spherical. Spherical.
It was not spherical. I didn't see the spheres. So yeah, and then I was like, oh, people, they don't know. And then I would do the IKEA leca.
Yeah.
It was IKEA or Hydroton. And then Pawn hit the scene and I was like,
yeah, we're so like the stupid rocks.
Yeah.
I think we weren't using clay pebbles.
You were talking about how hard it is to step on leca. Pawn, there needs to be research. Legos, leca, and Pawn. Because I just dumped a whole bunch of Pawn in my kitchen the other day. And my floors are like a forest type of green.
Yeah.
So the white I could see everywhere, but then I couldn't see the black, and I had just like done the floor, so I didn't want to get the vacuum out. So I just like swept as much as I could. Oh. And then literally for like 3 days after, I was like stepping on black leca everywhere. And I was like, I hate my life. I ended up doing the floors all over again because yeah, that was torture.
It's a different kind of pain though. Pawn feels like when you step on like a thorn.
Yeah.
But leca is more like extreme deep tissue massage.
You're right, yeah.
Okay, it's a little bit of a different pain, but they're all like stepping on a freaking
like,
Lego.
I feel like Legos are like the mix of both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like I feel like it's the worst.
Because you're either stepping on the knobby part, the circle, or you're stepping on the corners.
So you're getting a thorn and deep tissue massage at the same time, which nobody asked for.
I mean, maybe, but not like that. Anyway.
Okay.
Strawberry forks in Pawn, though. That helps keep your plant stable while you repot. And once they root in, they'll be fine. But invest in some of those.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. From the jungle of who? H-U. Mm. How do you keep your latifolias happy?
I don't have one.
I don't know if I have one now either, but I've never done anything different with those. Same as every other Hoya.
Yeah, I still have a latifolia Sarawak.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think
these are huge. I restarted it completely back to the bottom because it reached like the top of the trellis and like they like grew super pretty, like all stacked on top of each other. And then once it reaches the top, it got all weird, so I cut it all back. But anyway, I feel like the key with my latifolia was avoiding very high light because the leaves, they get like a yellow chlorotic to them. But nothing like happens to the leaves. It's just purely cosmetic. So like while they're growing, when that happens, I notice that they would come in more chlorotic. But even like when I move it, it wouldn't make the leaves green again. So it's just like a cosmetic thing that happened to mine personally. But it was also sitting in a south face window.
Okay.
So I just put it at the furthest back of one of my shelves, and it's under a T5 grow light, and it gets 12 hours of light a day. But I just treat it like everything else. No extra humidity. It goes dry
sometimes.
Yeah.
And then,
and it's just perfectly happy. So I just let it do its thing. No extra humidity, no super temperature concerns or anything like that.
Yeah. I'm curious as to what is the reasoning for this question, or like what experiences you're having with your latifolia. Yeah.
Maybe they're about to buy one and they want to know like if it's like a serpent's type of care or.
Yeah.
But easy. I feel like up potting it to a bigger pot, because it does like have like very nice, like thick roots, and making sure that it has a trellis is like vital.
Oh, absolutely.
It has to have a trellis because those leaves, I mean, there's different types of latifolias, but for the most part, they're still like bigger leaves. So I feel like the trellis definitely helps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now I kind of want a Sarawak again, because I remember how when they grew pretty, like when they pumped out those leaves, you were just like, that is gorgeous.
I know. And then they're so pretty.
I feel like I got rid of mine and I moved it because I was like, well, I don't have space, and I packed all these Hoya in, and now I'm like trying to downsize and keep. Might have to get that one again.
Maybe the green plant will have some.
Yeah.
Coming up.
Yeah, I legit do.
Ooh.
From Elizabeth Nisius. How are the non-Hoya plants doing?
Great.
Actually great and multiplying.
Oh, that is true.
Should I bring over my prayer plant? Yeah. That's a non-Hoya plant, right?
Yeah.
Because it's my cutest looking one. It's the best looking
one. Let's do it.
I'm assuming, I don't think we talked about our non-Hoya plants in a regular episode, so I'm assuming that they're a peduncle pal, because we talked about our non-Hoya plant acquisitions that have happened this year. Because there have been quite a few of them for all of us, actually, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I wanted to see the roots.
Yeah.
She you is know, gorgeous, actually, though. Yeah, I kind of low-key want to get one now.
You want a cutting of it? One. I mean, I can give you a cutting.
I kind of low-key want one.
It gets a little bigger.
Because you're growing it just in pond. Yeah, and so that like pot combo is really cute too.
I know. You know, my biggest regret in life, besides, you know, not being authentically me for 30 some years, my second biggest regret.
That's a big regret. Shit. Yeah.
Is not buying more of this pot when they were at IKEA.
They don't have them anymore.
They had them for a very short amount of time, and I am so freaking obsessed with this pot.
I only got one.
Me too.
Did you only get one? Yes. Well, I think there were only so many. It's not like they had a ton of them, but I think they're pricey too. I think those are like the $15 ones or something.
I know, but I
love it
like,
too.
I love it. It's like the no, perfect, legit. Like even where you keep the nutrient solution, like you know exactly where to do because it kind of just stays in that bottom little circle, and that's exactly the right height that it needs to stay. It's just like
it's great and it looks cute. I have my Ovada with splash in mine.
Yeah.
Wow.
But plants are doing good.
Gorgeous, gorgeous gal. We should talk more about it on Patreon, all of our little planties. Because we have a lot of them now.
We do.
We got more too. We all did.
Yeah.
Who are we?
You know, I think we're just like getting back into
we're
like...
We're planty people.
Yeah.
We're not going to be defined by one thing anymore.
Yes. Period.
Although this is still Let's Talk Hoya.
Yeah. And although Hoya, like I'm always going to be obsessed with Hoya. I will always have Hoya.
Yes.
And I'll probably always have the more of them than any other plant.
But currently obsessed. Beautiful. Yeah. Gorgeous, gorgeous gal.
And you know what? I kind of just like stopped being so like helicopter. Like that is sitting probably... like 4 feet from an east window.
Yeah.
And it is thriving.
Yeah, just like doing her thing.
Natural light. Yeah.
I love it.
So velvety.
Okay. Yeah. So we have a question that has a photo from Olivia Parker, who sent us a little email. So fun. Okay, I'm going to respond back tomorrow. But anyway... They said, hi there. Love your podcast. I've listened to all the episodes, some of them multiple times, like same. Y'all are so much fun. I've learned so much. Can you tell me if these two growths near the top right are peduncles? They do nothing after weeks on end, except look slightly sappy / sticky in spots. Maybe they're defective. Thanks, Olivia. Okay.
Those are peduncles.
Yep, they are peduncles. You know what it looks like is
they
when...
are huge peduncles.
Blasting. When they try to bud up and they're drying up and blasting is what's happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's when you kind of see some of that sap too, because mine do that.
Mm-hmm, same.
And I don't know if you do this, but I kind of clean them off. Like I'll take my finger or like a makeup brush and brush it off.
Because they just come off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because... not that the ones in the like the base of it matter, but sometimes if it's like sap covering the tip, because peduncles hang down and usually if a sap drips, it's going to... like I think that would prevent buds from like being able to grow. So I usually clean it off.
Yeah. But if like, you know, in the photo, you'll see you can tell like what would have been the blooms. Mm-hmm. And it's just like starting to bud up and it's all dried up. That's essentially what's happening, which happens. I mean, I feel like, what's one of them? My Sua Theohuensis, which finally bloomed, mm-hmm. and I was ecstatic about it for like the last year has done this constantly. And the end just continues to grow and grow and grow.
Yeah.
But it would just constantly do that. And you just have to get to a point where it kind of just figures it out. But I feel like the one thing that helps during that process is if it's trying to bloom is making sure it doesn't dry out.
But this is a beautiful plant. I just wanted to say that.
It is a beautiful plant.
It is a
plant.
Gorgeous plant. That was the other reason I was like, I'm so glad they sent a picture. That is this freaking...
What is the name of this plant again? So
Latifolia.
Sorry. Okay, yeah, Latifolia.
Yeah, that was the macrophylla.
That's the macrophylla.
That's macrophylla drama.
Which we have an episode on.
Yeah. I point people to that episode so many times.
It's actually a really great episode.
Yeah, I love that one. Plug. But What's surprising me about, is it Olivia who sent this in?
Olivia Parker.
Olivia Parker. What are you doing with your Hoya? Are you just watering it in place? Because like, yes, like there's nothing, you're not doing anything wrong, but I'm surprised that those have stayed on there. Like, cause they fall off so easily. But like, I feel like if I moved that plant, those would fall off. Don't you think?
I think it depends. Like sometimes it depends on the plant. Cause sometimes like they fall off so easily and then you have a whole graveyard of like what should have been blooms and they're just like tiny speckled everywhere. But then sometimes I feel like if it's like a really sappy type of a Hoya, they kind of like stick around and you have to kind of
Again, you're referring to like the little dots at the end, not the like entire peduncle.
I'm talking about the whole spur has those flakes, like the whole thing is covered. We can insert
a photo zoomed in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Boop.
But like, I mean, you take your finger and you tap that and those will just like,
yeah, they usually just fall off on their own and then they're literally everywhere. She is like,
you know,
not moving the plant.
But sometimes also, they don't though. Sometimes they do kind of stick on. Those plants look
so great.
Mm-hmm. They look gorgeous. And sometimes, like, I feel like, I mean, you can see how long they are. So, you know, they've been trying for a while. Yeah. So I can like understand like how frustrating it is. But
I'm so excited to see blooms on Olivia's latifolia.
We really struggled for a minute there.
It's episode 26. If any of you want to hear the drama on this plant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because there is lots of drama. That was really an episode.
D-R-A-M-A.
But yes, not defective. It's just sometimes they do that.
What was it? Adam said, she's trying.
Yeah, she's trying. So, yeah, I mean, not keeping the plant saturated or doing really anything too special. Just don't let it like dry out bare bones.
Yeah.
And see if that, because if you dry it out bare bones, then sometimes they just eat themselves.
Yeah.
But then also if you try too hard and baby it, they also eat themselves. So it's a balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've had a latifolia bloom. I can't remember.
I don't think so.
I don't think I have had even a peduncle on mine.
Yeah, that's why I'm like so excited for
Olivia. Now that I see how pretty this plant is though, I legit kind of want like a latifolia pot of gold.
I know.
Which is the inner variegated latifolia. Stop, I want that. I don't know. I've been like going back on some plants. Trying to take
Lucky Charms.
But anyway. Okay.
Any more thoughts?
There is another.
I tell you what I need. I need more thoughts. THOTs.
Okay. Two more questions.
You are a thought.
Two more questions that we got today. And I'm specifically saying today so you know that this is, you know, if you don't hear your question, it's because you sent it after 8 p.m. Arizona time, which is apparently our cutoff today. Big Pink Dragon is rooting a section of Hoya vine with inactive root bumps, different method from a node.
Huh?
He sent a picture too.
I think maybe what he's asking is, because you know how sometimes like at the node of the Hoya, there's like roots that can come out, like it can root from there and it can also root along the vine. So I think he's asking if there's a difference between the two.
Oh no, you'll just like those nubbins that you would see along the vine, like roots will grow out of there. And I think by already being a nub, they'll grow out quicker.
There's potential.
But like roots will grow out of, like we've talked about, any surface of the stem.
It doesn't even have to be where the little nubs are. I mean, honestly, what'll end up happening is if it were like in a really humid environment, like they'd become aerial roots.
It looks like a centipede because it grows literally a root from everywhere.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's funny because like if you have like a cutting, sometimes the roots will grow from the bottom where it heals, which is so fun to see. Like, because when you take it out, when you're going to put it to pond, I put some things in pond today from just like the little cups. But sometimes the bottom where the cut has healed, you'll have like a whole gaggle of roots and then it'll be this nothing on the stem and then up by where the node is.
And then it's funny because it looks like it's like busting out of there. Yeah. It really like, you know, like gave birth to roots and ripped through.
Yeah. But so then if you have like a...
That was very
bad. I know, that's what it feels like though.
If you have a stem cutting that has those little nubbins on it though, like that guaranteed roots will come out of there. So I do like those, but I don't know, like even on that same plant.
You know what else this is a moment for?
How it rooted.
This is for a moment for John's Hoya picture when we can show you on the vine.
Yeah.
Keep saying pictures. Adam's going to throw something at you.
Okay, last question. from Miami Plant Vibes.
Ooh, I love, every time I see their logo, I don't know, it just gives me so much joy.
Real cute, yeah. How many plants, how many plants do each of you have? I have over 350.
Okay, flex.
Dang. Yeah. Well, I don't have that many plants. I used to at one point have almost like 250, I feel like, and that's the point where I felt really overwhelmed. So,
but you kind of might with the business.
I mean, just like my plants that are like just like regular mother plants, I don't have that many. Like, I have a ton of propagated plants, but
yeah. Well, I mean, we used to have a ton of plants. I think that mentally I needed to cut back. I think maybe it was a not self-sustaining level, but I don't think I've ever had 300.
I like their logo too, but I feel like it needs a Hoya in there.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Tropicals to Hoya pipeline.
True, true, true. But yeah.
The green plant is an Hoya.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. No, but 300. Yikes.
What did they say? Over.
See, but do you know what?
350.
And I'm not saying that, well, if I lived in Florida and we could have a shade house outside and I could have these plants in like soil and I just had to go out there with a hose and just do.
That would be completely different.
It would be so different. And actually like a big part of me wants that at some point in my life. Maybe not Florida, but somewhere where I can do that, because like, I think that I would love to go out there and just like water them and then just be able to like walk around and like view them.
Yeah.
Whereas like now when we take care of plants, it's like
back and forth to the sink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But can't you just see me like out there with your coffee? Like when you water your outdoor plants, like just imagine that just being Hoya.
Mai Tai says hi. A little Mai Tai ASMR.
Yeah. He's such a good boy.
There you go. There you go. He says hi. He's also really chunky. I almost flipped off my chair trying to pick him up.
He is not. I thought he was looking pretty skinny.
Really?
He's getting a little puggy. Does he look too big?
No, he looks fine.
Oh. He looks fine.
He looks fine.
I have somewhere around 150, a little bit over.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know either, but like if I rough estimate it, probably like 60 to 70.
Probably me too. Yeah.
I feel like right now I'm like at a comfortable spot. I could probably do maybe give or take like 50-ish more, but I think that would be my max.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anything you have like over a that system
would be too much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like I'm at a point where, because I'm getting ready to move, so I'm at a point where
I could have more, but then I'd be doing worse care and already everything's on the circle. But I feel like 60 to 70 is a good number for me to have for like decent, not losing half of my collection at a time.
We thought it'd be fun to continue to answer your guys' questions. So if you ever have any other questions that come up that you would like us to give our thoughts and opinions on, then send them to our email inbox at let's.talkhoya@gmail.com. And what we'll do is we'll look through our inbox before recording. And if there's a question, we'll answer it before our episode starts.
Yeah.
Or like at the beginning of the episodes.
Yeah. 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 At the beginning of the episodes.
Yeah. And even if it's like a question about a past episode, whatever, just like hit us with the cues.
Yeah.
We'll give you the A.
He will give you the sorry for nothing.
Anyway, also don't forget to follow us over on Instagram. We're at let's.talkhoya, and you can also follow us all individually. I am at notdude.
I'm at theGreenPlant.az,
and I'm at Perritos y Plants. Adios.
Annyeong.
Bye.
Picture this, you're scrolling through your feed and suddenly bam, you land on an incredible live stream and someone sharing secrets about nurturing that stunning plant you've been eyeing. You're instantly hooked, asking questions, laughing, and joining vibrant conversations with passionate plant lovers from all over the world.
These live streams aren't just about selling plants. They're hangouts, educational classes, and exciting community events. And while you're waiting for your next favorite seller or educator to go live, join chat channels similar to Discord, where the fun never stops and plant friendships flourish.
Feeling inspired, you decide it's time to buy your dream plant. Here's the best part. It's not just a transaction. You're connecting directly with amazing sellers and becoming part of a genuinely engaged community. Need any tips? Have any questions? Want to celebrate your plant's first ever bloom? Overgrown Oasis community is always eager to support, guide, and cheer you on.
Overgrown Oasis is more than just a platform. It's your new plant-loving adventure and community home. So dive into the excitement, connect deeply, and watch your plant dreams bloom alongside friends. You can find Overgrown Oasis by visiting overgrownoasis.com.
Your ultimate plant-loving community awaits.